This is America's Roundtable from Washington, D.C., an initiative of the U.S.-based think tank International Leaders Summit in partnership with Lancer Broadcasting Corporation and Supertalk Mississippi Media. Thank you for joining us on America's Roundtable. I'm Joel Adensami, your co-host, joined by economist Natasha Serdorch, co-founder of International Leaders Summit and the Jerusalem Leaders Summit.
America's Roundtable guests include leading voices from business, government, media, energy, technology, healthcare, and the broad policy arena. Subscribe to America's Roundtable on Apple Podcasts, Amazon, and Spotify. Visit America's Roundtable at americasrt.com. We invite donors and advertisers to reach us by visiting our website, americasrt.com. Welcome to America's Roundtable.
This week on America's Roundtable from Washington, D.C., broadcasted via 65 radio stations in partnership with Lancer Broadcasting Corporation in the Midwest and Supertalk Mississippi Media in the South, we're delighted and honored to welcome His Excellency Sheikh Abdullah bin Rashid Al Khalifa from the Kingdom of Bahrain and U.S. Senator Marsha Blackburn from the great state of Tennessee. We will begin our conversation with Ambassador Al Khalifa, who is the Kingdom of Bahrain's official representative in Washington, D.C. He obtained his bachelor's degree from Bentley University in Massachusetts and continued his studies at Bentley and received a Master in Business Administration. He attained a certificate from the Harvard Kennedy School focusing on innovation in governance as part of his executive education program. And on this note, we extend a warm welcome to Ambassador Al Khalifa. Good morning and welcome to America's Roundtable.
Good morning, Ambassador Al Khalifa.
Natasha and Joel, my friends, a very good morning and thank you for the opportunity. I really look forward to the conversation.
We look forward to it too. Thank you so much. The Kingdom of Bahrain is a constitutional monarchy which extends on the archipelago of islands located east of Saudi Arabia. The United States and the Kingdom of Bahrain are long-standing partners with a strong record of economic, cultural, and security cooperation. Americans from Minnesota visited Bahrain in the late 1800s and established the American Mission Hospital, which is still serving patients in Bahrain today. Bahrain is also home to the United States Navy's Fifth Fleet, which has been responsible for naval forces in the Persian Gulf, Red Sea, Arabian Sea, and parts of the Indian Ocean since 1995. The United States established diplomatic relations with the Kingdom of Bahrain in 1971 and designated Bahrain a major non-NATO ally in 2002. Ambassador Al Khalifa, could you kindly share with the listeners about Bahrain's close partnership with America?
Well, Natasha, as you clearly stated, the relationship between the two countries is a very old relationship, a long-standing, strong, deep-rooted, historic relationship. It did start a very long time before official diplomatic relations were established. And it started on a people-to-people relations. And I think that's what makes it all the more special. It is a multifaceted relationship. Those that look at Bahrain, they usually look at it from the lens of the defense relationship, and we can't blame them, with tens of thousands of U.S. sailors at any given time situated in Bahrain. But when you scratch the surface, you really see how reliable, how close Bahrain has been when it comes to U.S. policies towards the region and the wider globe. And so my task here as ambassador has been an honor, but at the same time, we've been able to see so many milestones being met because of the parallelism in policies coming out of Washington and Manama at the same time. I'm glad to be here. I'm glad to be serving my king and kingdom, while at the same time, always looking for win-win situations that further bolster the relationship between the two countries.
Ambassador Al Khalifa, when Natasha and I read about the Kingdom of Bahrain's unique history and the transformation that has been taking place in your nation over the decades, one observes the creativity, drive, and innovative approach it brings to the 21st century of trade investments and the export marketplace. Indeed, Bahrain is a trendsetter in the region and beyond. The out-of-the-box thinking is certainly fueling opportunities for countries interested in engaging engaging with Bahrain. And we truly believe that America's businesses and entrepreneurs have an opportunity to grow their enterprises and discover new markets, dynamic markets, a win-win, as you mentioned, for America, Bahrain, and other nations. And on January 12, 2021, Secretary Wilbur Ross, on behalf of the U.S. Department of Commerce, and your leadership and your country's leadership, the Ministry of Industry, Commerce, and Tourism of the Kingdom of Bahrain, signed an MOU to enhance U.S.-Bahrain trade through the establishment of a U.S. trade zone in the Kingdom of Bahrain. And it's really very unique, and because of Bahrain's modernization and what it has done to being a gateway for the Middle East and South Asia, a market whereby you have 400 million consumers plus South Asia of more than 1.4 billion consumers. Ambassador Al Khalifa, could you share with us how this potential can truly benefit America's enterprises and entrepreneurs seeking new opportunities in the economic sphere?
Well, I think to start the story out, we got to go back a little bit to 2006 when the U.S. and Bahrain signed the free trade agreement, which has really elevated the trade partnership, but also opened up so many possibilities. And we've seen that through the establishment of multiple U.S. firms in Bahrain that not only serve Bahrain, but also the wider region. Amazon Web Services in 2017 is a prime example. But also lately, Bahrain had also announced a U.S. trade zone, which is really beneficial for our nation, but it also was coupled with a number of policies that really make it an attractive venture for U.S. companies. I mean, we're talking about a country that has pegged its currency to the U.S. dollar, that has given U.S. companies a competitive edge over others by placing this trade zone right between the airport and the ports. And at the same time, come up with a policy to ensure that you have a less than 2 hour transit time between the commodities that are coming in through air and wanting to pass through the ports. At the same time, we're looking at areas in which we can ease the traffic of passengers and cargo into Bahrain. We were very lucky in 2022 to be announced as one of the countries part of the U.S. Global Entry Program. And again, that makes it easier for passengers to come in. But to get there, there was a lot of work that needed to be done on the back end side of things. And so when you have systems that are more aligned, it becomes an easier facilitation. Now, there are a number of policies that make investment in Bahrain much more lucrative. When you look at a 0% corporate tax policy, when you look at 100% foreign policy, foreign ownership policy, all of these different initiatives have really put Bahrain on the map for U.S. investments to establish themselves in Bahrain and then make use of the agreements that we have with neighboring countries to take advantage of it. In terms of economy, why is it all the more important for people to look at the Middle East as a potential? When looked at as a single market, the GCC is among the world's top 10 largest economies. So it's similar to the size of Canada. And by 2030, it's projected that it's going to be the world's sixth largest. And it's a source of hundreds of billions of dollars of investments coming from the U.S. And so when it comes to the Middle East, I think there's a lot of potential, there's a lot of growth, and now is the time for people to look at it as a possibility.
Right. I mean, we also looked at the other indices that Bahrain is known for. And the Kingdom of Bahrain was the first country in the Gulf to liberalize its telecom sector. The kingdom was ranked first in the Arab region on the Information and Communications Technology Development Index by the International Telecommunication Union report, and fourth globally in Telecommunication Infrastructure Index, as per the United Nations e-Government Development Index. Bahrain ranked fourth globally in Internet Users category with 99% penetration as per the Global Competitiveness Report by World Economic Forum. So today, the kingdom continues its growth, deploying modern technology and artificial intelligence to further streamline procedures in the public sector. Bahrain Economic Vision 2030 was launched in October 2008, and a new Bahrain Economic Vision 2050 is on the horizon. Ambassador Al Khalifa, His Royal Highness Prince Salman bin Hamad Al Khalifa, the Crown Prince and Prime Minister, just began conducting consultations with the legislative authority, the private sector, professional associations, and civil society institutions to formulate Bahrain's Economic Vision 2050. Ambassador Khalifa, what is your message to business leaders interested in trade with Bahrain and potentially investing into Bahrain? What are the opportunities that the Economic Vision 2050 provides with already built-in infrastructure that is so much advanced?
Well, Natasha, you talked about connectivity, and what can I say? As islanders, we love connectivity, and to be in the middle of the middle of the middle is a luxury, but also is an opportunity. We're in the middle of the world, in the middle of the Middle East, in the middle of the Gulf. And that gives us so many possibilities. And so the vision of His Majesty King Hamad bin Isa Al Khalifa and his directives to sustainably develop all facets of national action have really resulted in tangible outcomes and achievements that really contribute to the future of the kingdom, but also the region as a whole. We have tremendous progress both nationally and globally when it comes to Vision 2030. And like you rightfully said, with six more years to go, His Majesty has given directives to the government to develop a framework for Bahrain's Economic Vision 2050. The goals of which are to enhance partnerships in national decision-making and contribute positively to the development of our nation, while at the same time providing opportunities for countries to expand their footprint in the region because of all these different policies that have been put in place. When it comes to technology, of course, we touched upon Amazon Web Services. And, you know, with that, we were the first country to develop a cloud-first policy. That has really given us an edge there, but it has also given the high-tech industry something to think about, whether to move in a direction where countries in the region are looking for opportunities. Also, when it comes to fintech, as you very well know, it has been an important and integral part of the industries that we have developed. And Bahrain has been pioneering blockchain technology through the first blockchain-powered land registry. I guess because of the agility of the way that things can be done in Bahrain, government working with parliament, passing laws through, we able to come up with environments where the regulatory process moves faster, and we're able to create sandboxes that companies can make use of and expand and thrive in the Gulf and test their product through these establishments. And so I think it's important to look at Bahrain as a test bed, as a country that has laid down the infrastructure for investments, has signed all the intellectual property rights that needed to be signed, and is a country that is open for business.
Ambassador Al Khalifa, it is important to share with our engaged listeners that the significance of the U.S. Kingdom of Bahrain partnership is also augmented and strengthened through the U.S. Navy's Fifth Fleet and the headquarters of U.S. Naval Forces Central Command based in Manama. And the U.S. Fifth Fleet includes 8,000 American personnel and families stationed in Bahrain and operating in the Arabian Gulf. And Ambassador Al Khalifa, how would you describe the U.S. Kingdom of Bahrain strategic partnership on the defense and security fronts and the significance of this unique collaborative endeavor of actually advancing peace through strength in the region?
Look, Joel, it goes without say that Bahrain is a steadfast ally of the United States. We've played a critical role in regional security, hosting the U.S. Navy's Fifth Fleet, hosting multiple coalitions of like-minded nations to deter the threats of maritime in our region. Bahrain has been fighting shoulder to shoulder with the United States in every single operation that was U.S.-led in the region. That comes to show how reliable our partnership has been. And over the years, what we have been able to do is we've been able to take that bilateral relationship and grow it out. We have a number of coalitions where there are countries that are joining in. When it comes to securing the waterways, there's an obligation there. And so a prime example is the combined maritime forces, where we have 34 countries that operate that region, making sure that we're targeting the threats to maritime security in the waters near the Arabian Peninsula. The other factor that needs to also be identified is the fact that Navy personnel that are based in Bahrain are based with their families. And so the relationship, yes, it's a defense relationship, but there's also a cultural aspect to it. Families are established in Bahrain. The kids go to the only DOD-operated school in the entire region. You see Americans part of the culture of Bahrain. The funny thing is, there's an alley that's close to where the U.S. Naval facility is, where they call it the American Alley. It's an alley where there are a number of U.S. franchises, restaurants, and food and beverage places, all of which come from the United States. There's actually a BMW dealership that imports U.S. spec vehicles because sailors will use them for a number of years and then it becomes easier for them to ship them back home. And so this is more than just a defense relationship. It means a lot to us and we're fully invested in it.
Right. And Ambassador Khalif, I just wanted to follow up on what you just said, that on January 22nd this year, 2024, Bahrain joined in support of the militaries of the United States and United Kingdom, together with Australia, Canada, and the Netherlands, to conduct an additional round of proportionate and necessary strikes against Houthi targets in Yemen, in response to the Houthis' continued attacks against international and commercial shipping, as well as naval vessels transiting the Red Sea. At that time, there had been more than 30 attacks on international commercial vessels which were perpetrated by Houthis in Yemen. And Abbas al-Khalifa, the American people appreciate Kingdom of Bahrain's support in upholding the rule-based order, protecting freedom of navigation and international commerce in the Middle East. Ambassador al-Khalifa, could you share with us your thoughts and the most recent developments?
As I said, the commitments towards one another in terms of defense have been elevated. And Bahrain joining Operation Prosperity Guardian is just one example to the dedication that we have towards the stability of the entire region. You know, it's important to realize the Middle East, it still matters. It matters a lot. What happens in the Middle East has a direct effect not only on the United States, but on the entire world. Look at it from a geographic perspective. 12% of global trade goes through the Suez Canal. 20% of container traffic, too. A third of the world's liquefied natural gas and 25% of total oil consumption passes through the Strait of Hormuz. Asia imports 70% of its oil and 50% of its natural gas from the Middle East. And although the U.S. may be energy independent, its economy is still linked to the global markets, which means that disruptions in energy supplies have a direct impact on the United States. And so this is an action that Bahrain thought is a necessary action. We are deterring the threats to the freedom of navigation in that region, and we hope for peaceful days to come.
Right.
Indeed. Mm. And Ambassador Al-Khalifa, as you were just mentioning about the 8,000 personnel and families from America that are stationed in Bahrain, and Natasha and I have been so impressed by seeing the images of the beautiful hotels that you have in Bahrain, the beautiful sea views, and also realizing tourism is a growing sector. And Bahrain's strategic position has made it not only the region's most significant commercial crossroads for over 4,000 years as a trading hub, as a route for the pearl diving industry. Today, pearl diving, water sports, to the kingdom's 18-hole championship golf course, and those heading to the region can experience a unique culture and environment. And just last week, Natasha and I watched on YouTube a world-renowned artist, Andre Rieu, and the Johann Strauss Orchestra giving concerts in Bahrain. And as we watched this video, we were truly impressed when the orchestra played Scotland the Brave and Amazing Grace, led by the Royal Bahrain Police Pipe Band, and they were excellent indeed. And we would certainly encourage our listeners to check this video on YouTube. Ambassador Al-Khalifa, when you head back to your beautiful country, what do you and your family enjoy most when spending time in the Kingdom of Bahrain?
Oh, Joel, I'm always fascinated when I go back, and I do go back quite often, but it just shocks me to see the amount of progress, the amount of development that is happening in Bahrain. I'm talking infrastructure, there's new roads. I sometimes need to use the GPS now. It is developing really fast. And tourism has been a very important sector to His Royal Highness, the Crown Prince and Prime Minister, so much so that we are seeing an influx of not only entertainment and events around that, but also in terms of conferences. There's always something to do. There's a new conference center that was lately inaugurated right next to the Bahrain International Circuit, where we just concluded the first Formula One race of this season. There's just so much to do that a couple of days is not enough. And I really do encourage all your listeners to visit Bahrain. And in doing so, you really get a better understanding of what this country means to the region, to the world, and the history behind it. I do have to say that there is one more thing that we are working on right now, which is establishing direct flights. Our national carrier, Gulf Air, is working tirelessly to make it here to the United States. We're working closely with the FAA to ensure that our new airport, that is four times the size of the old airport, is accredited and that we can have direct flights before the end of the year. That will really give people a better experience traveling to the region.
Ambassador Al-Khalifa, you are an extraordinary emissary representing the Kingdom of Bahrain in the United States of America and dedicated to fostering the long-term loyal relationship between our two countries. We really appreciate your leadership in spearheading multiple initiatives to bring Bahrain, Kingdom of Bahrain, closer to America and just introducing our listeners to what opportunities there are in economic, cultural, in tourism sector. So we look forward to continuing our conversation with you in all these areas.
Natasha, thank you so much. Joel, my friend, thank you. It was a pleasure joining you. And to all our listeners out there, keep your eyes open. I have embarked on a campaign called the Beyond the Beltway campaign. So I've been engaged with visits to a number of states, and I do look forward to visiting your state one day as well.
Wonderful.
Thank you so much
indeed, Ambassador Al-Khalifa. Mm-hmm. We wish you and your family a blessed Ramadan, and we truly appreciate your strong partnership in all that we're doing in advancing our shared values and principles.
Thank you.
Blessed Ramadan.
Thank you.
This is America's Roundtable from Washington, D.C., an initiative of the U.S.-based think tank International Leaders Summit in partnership with Lancer Broadcasting Corporation and Supertalk Mississippi Media. Thank you for joining us on America's Roundtable. I'm Joel Adansami, your co-host, joined by economist Natasha Sardorch, co-founder of International Leaders Summit and the Jerusalem Leaders Summit.
America's Roundtable guests include leading voices from business, government, media, energy, technology, healthcare, and the broad policy arena. Subscribe to America's Roundtable on Apple Podcasts, Amazon, and Spotify. Visit America's Roundtable at americasrt.com. americasrt.com. Follow us on Facebook, America's Roundtable, and Twitter at americasrt. We invite donors and advertisers to reach us by visiting our website, americasrt.com.